Om Shanti. And good morning. First thing I have to do is apologize for being a little bit late. But actually, I was with Daddy Jenki, and I said, Daddy, it's 11 o'clock. I've got to go. She said, don't worry, they can meditate. 5 past 11. Daddy, it's 5 past 11. I better go. Don't worry there. So, anyway. Actually, I was thinking this morning, I don't know whether you've noticed, but during the Muli, she has so much enthusiasm that we enjoy the Muli, that she keeps saying, no one nods their head. Have you noticed? No one nods their head. So I was thinking tomorrow we should all sit the whole Muli, go the whole hall, we should all keep nodding our heads. And I think she would enjoy that. Really, our life is a life of change, and in my personal experience, it almost equal to the extraordinary joy or happiness we have when we find Baba, and we believe, you know, we begin to feel, this is where I belong. I think in the human soul, one of the deepest feelings, so profoundly deep, is the need to belong. And when it comes from my heart that I belong to Baba, I belong to this family, there's such a change that happens on a subtle level in the soul that I've come home. I really feel I belong. But equally, I think, is the happiness when I really feel something profoundly deep changes within me. One of my own personal experiences, and I think many of Baba's children, is that, you know, we feel in our heart that, yes, I am Baba's children, and I have changed, there's no doubt. I follow the principles, I live the lifestyle, I do service, I cooperate. But still, there's still some deep things that haven't changed yet. And I think almost all of us have that feeling that a lot has changed, but sometimes there's still a few deep thorns in the soul that seem incredibly hard to shift. And I think sometimes it needs just incredible determination and courage, really, to bring change. And from what I've observed in the last Muli, which we heard from Baba, and even many of the Mulis at the end of this last season, around January, February, Baba talks so much about the power of determination. And I think one of the lovely things that Baba was saying was that there's a law, a spiritual law in the confluence age, which says, and Baba mentioned this, that if you have one step of courage, Baba gives 1,000 steps of help. Sometimes we listen to that and we think, oh yes, it's one of those lovely things Baba says. But I think it's like a profound spiritual law that if I have honest courage to really make a change, a deep change in myself, Baba's responsibility, if we follow the customs and systems and principles, is that he has to support that change which I'm trying to make in myself. But what I remember Baba saying in one of those mulis is that what happens is that we do have the power of determination. But at the same time, we also have a little bit of waste thought. So on the one hand, I'm saying, yes, Baba, I will do it. Yes, Baba, I will do it. But if you remember the muli, Baba kept saying there was always the but. Baba, I will do it, but this circumstance is like that. This circumstance is like this. You know, there was always the but which was there. And Baba was saying that we really have to let go the buts and really apply the full force of determination to bring change. And sometimes I feel, if I've looked at my own experience, you know, sometimes we have this myth in our mind, there's some magic formula, magic point of knowledge, magic trick which will do it. But I think it comes down to sheer unadulterated determination and willpower sometimes just to bring some sort of shift in me. Because Baba's assessment of we as a family at the beginning of this year was, you know, Baba gives us so many blessings, but he said there's two weaknesses. One is a lack of power of transformation. And once again, Baba's saying we have changed, but there's still a lot to go. I think everyone in this room would agree. I feel this about myself. But secondly, the lack of power of determination. In the sense that, you know, Baba was saying we have all those promises. Do you remember he was saying we have a file of promises to Baba? So there is determination, but once again, it's not really carried through to that complete extent. And I personally have been thinking about determination and observing myself. And I remember once Baba said something which really had a profound effect on me about the law of karma. We teach the law of karma, but there's many subtle laws of karma. And one of the subtle laws is about the power of realization. And you know when you realize something about yourself, you know when there's a scene of drama, there's a relationship, and you realize there's something in me which is not accurate or disturbing this relationship. What Baba was saying, the moment of realization realizes the greatest power of determination to apply. In other words, when you have the realization, that's the maximum power to make it happen in my life. And Baba said, the more time we leave to apply that realization, the less willpower we have to make it happen. Do you understand where I'm coming from? In other words, it's like this subtle law of karma. Because I don't know about you, sometimes I've realized something about myself and I think, I really must do something about that. And you know, you write it in your diary and you think sometime I'm going to sit down and think about it. But the longer you leave it, the longer or the more time we leave it, the less power we get from that moment when the realization has happened that I really must do something about myself. And what I've seen is that there's then various challenges that come to challenge the strength of my determination to do something. The first challenge is simply just the five vices. You know, I have the determination to be tolerant. But there will be, you know, the five vices that come. There will be some irritation or whatever. And that is like the first challenge that comes. And how much am I able to, you know, maintain the determination not to react to another person with irritation? Sometimes even the subtle forms of the vices are so strong. And I always remember that once Baba said that anger is in many layers. There's this verbal force of anger or physical force. That's the gross. The subtle is to get irritated or annoyed. But the refined form of anger is that I don't even want to be around somebody. You think, I just avoid a person. Even Baba says that's like a refined form of anger. And what happens is that we have the realization, I have the determination. The first challenge is that the five vices will come to challenge the strength of my original thought to do something. The second thing that happens, the second challenge I find, is the reaction to my own impurity or my own vices. To me, this is really where weakness really strikes. In other words, seeing that I do have thoughts of anger, I have thoughts of lust, I have thoughts of whatever it is. Most of us have this internal reaction of guilt, of shame, of lack of self-respect. To me, the vices will come to every single soul. It's the second challenge which really makes us see, you know, how much determination I can sustain. Because, you know, when I have the power, when you feel guilty, oh, Baba said I should never have thoughts of anger. Baba said I should never have thoughts of lust. And so that guilt, I think it does nothing. There's nothing that weakens the power of a determined thought than guilty feelings or even the shame. What would others think if they knew what I'm really like inside, you know? And these feelings, it's like my original pure thought to put something in action. The first challenge, the vices come. The second challenge, the reaction to my own impurity. And then even the third challenge to my determined thought is it seeing that reaction, even this reaction of lack of self-respect, seeing that I am affected by these things. Baba sets this standard, I'm not at the standard. There's this subtle mechanism that begins to work. What I've noticed, and I call it like a self-rejection, you know? It's like a rejection of me by me. That it's like I push myself aside. I need nothing more than love to heal and sustain the determined thought. And it's seeing this impurity, I reject myself, I push myself aside. And once again, by this time, the determined thought is so diluted that the third challenge is a sense of hopelessness, a sense of disheartenment, and even a self-sabotage. You know, this ability to sabotage the self. That seeing this process, it proves to me I am a weak soul, you know? It proves to me I'm not so strong. So it's like we begin with the determined thought, but every determined thought will be challenged. And yet, I think what Baba wants is for us to really see through the determination. And one thing I feel in my life these days is that no matter what, never give up. And I remember my early days in Gyan, the first big storm of Maya that hit me, I can remember quite clearly. And it was only after a few months, and I was with another brother who was quite close to me at the time. And you know how sometimes you feel a bit competitive with somebody, whether you're consciously or unconsciously. And perhaps there was a little bit of jealousy between us. And anyway, there was a lot of sort of confusion in my mind. And you know, have you ever had the experience when your intellect observes and you know you're under some influence or having Maya, but still your feelings are in upheaval? Have you ever had that feeling? So the intellect sort of is observing, but the feelings are in upheaval. And I was sort of in this state, and I can remember though what came through was such a determined thought that, you know, I've searched for so long, I've found Baba, this is where I belong, no matter what happens, I'm going to stick with it. And sometimes I think these scenes emerge, a real strength, a determined feeling that I really have to stick with this journey. Because, you know, Baba has often said in the Mulis that children, storms will come. I've never heard Baba say, children, storms might come. Storms maybe will come. They will come. And even there's another law which says not just storms that come, sometimes there's massive you know, earthquakes and typhoons that come. And really the reality is sometimes things come that we never imagined. Things come that have never even come before Brahman life. And this is confusing for us. And yet there's another law that says this is a part of the process of change. And this is what I feel is that sometimes as my boat's traveling along the journey, such a storm comes that I start to feel that maybe I should change the direction of the boat. No. The boat should go in the same direction, but just know that a part of the journey is sometimes such deep things emerge within me. And even if you look at all the scriptures of the religions, they allude to that. Where did Krishna receive the message from God? It was on the battlefield. It was on the battlefield. There was so much, you know, fighting going on. But that's where he received the message from God. And even if you think of the story of Ulysses, you know, Ulysses is like a Western myth and he had to face all these huge challenges, which are symbolic of really of all the vices, that these do come in front of the soul on the spiritual journey. Remember the sirens who tried to lure him. They were so attractive. Lure him away from his determined thought of where he wanted to go to become pure. Or Medusa, all these things were there. And as far as I understand, even the word jihad, which we hear a lot these days in the media, the original idea of jihad, today it's interpreted to fight the enemy, fight the non-believer. But the original meaning of jihad was to fight the enemy within, you know? To actually deal with my own impurity. Because as we go along, storms do come. It's inevitable. And yet, what I feel is that, first of all, three things I often feel. One is, don't overreact. I've seen sometimes that we can go through a period, a prolonged period, and we overreact. We think, I've got to change something. I've got to stop doing this or stop doing that. But no, keep going. And don't worry. Sometimes when the storms come, I begin to worry about myself. And thirdly, don't be afraid. I remember a few years ago, one brother was telling me, he'd been in Gyan many years, and he was saying to me that some sanskaras emerged in him and it created so much fear. It was like fear of his own weakness. He felt like paralyzed. And yet, this journey Baba is taking us is on the highest journey of all. And one of the things that, you know, I reflect on sometimes is that we have searched to change for such a long time. I honestly believe life after life, we did our bhakti because we wanted to transform ourselves. Yes, we come close to God, but implicit in that relationship with God is it will make me a better person. I will change myself. And yet, we tried and tried, and not knowing sanskaras, the habit that religion has instilled in us is to suppress things. We couldn't change. We didn't know what sanskaras were. And in a way, we know the secret is that there's only one glimpse in the whole cycle that sanskaras will change, and it's now. It's at this particular time. So what we did, we have developed, I think, we're the old devotees, a sanskara to suppress things rather than change things. And this is one of the reasons why, too, in recent history, psychology was born. Because religion would always say, you've got to be pure, you've got to be like this, you've got to be like that, but everyone felt different inside. And then psychology was born to sort of be more honest about what is happening internally. And yet sometimes I feel religion taught us to suppress. Sometimes in psychology, when we look at our weakness, we get so indulgent in our weakness. We get so caught up in our weakness. And yet I think spirituality says be honest about the weakness, but put your energy into change. create determination to bring transformation in myself. And what I've really seen in me, mainly, but also in the family, that we go through phases in this life. And when we take spiritual birth, that beautiful moment of recognition of Baba is such a magic moment. It releases so much inner strength and determination to bring change in myself. But the first level of change is usually fairly superficial. Someone once described it to me is that the first change is just habits. And habits are really based on this life, on culture, on lifestyle, on family, eating habits, lifestyle habits. And when we adopt the Brahman system, almost instantly we experience change and we begin to feel it's easy. You know, oh, this is easy, you know. Just change what I eat and I wake up early in the morning. And it is. And it's like an easy step to begin with. I was sharing, I think, with the Israeli group just a few days ago that I remember when I first started, it was 1975. And in those days, there was a belief in the yajna that destruction would happen in 1976. And so I thought, I've got 1 year to become karmatik. No problem. Be easy. And as I was saying, you know, 32 years later, I'm still here. But you know, that initial phase is a form of change. The baby phase is a beautiful phase. It's the honeymoon period. But the second phase is really what I would call the growing up phase. This is when I become a part of the Brahman family. I start to practice more things. And perhaps there's a deeper level of change that begins to happen. And this is, for me, sometimes some people call it our nature. I call it the soft sanskars in the soul. It's like there's some soft sanskars and perhaps impregnated just in the last few births. The sanskaras perhaps to see defects in people. The sanskara to blame. The sanskara to lie or even twist the truth. The sanskaras of intolerance, impatience. They are sanskaras, but perhaps not the deepest ones. And as we begin to practice, as we have yoga, as we study, as we do service, we start to begin to bring change in some of those sanskars which are there. But many times what happens is as we continue further, there's like a third level of change. And this is what sometimes I call the midlife crisis, you know, the Brahman midlife crisis. And in the sense that it can be, we hit some sanskaras that are very deep, and often we felt that I already changed them. You know, it's even my own experience that after many years, some things emerged I thought I'd changed earlier that had left me. What I began to realize is often when we take birth as a BK, our first sanskara, the bhakti sanskara, there is change, but we do suppress some things. It's almost like we put them on the pause button or push them aside. But at some point they do come back, and sometimes with force. I often remember one of our elder sisters telling us that she said, I've never been an angry person, not even before Gyan. And 6 years after Gyan, a period came up of so much irritation, you know? Everything irritated me. And if I'm not a really Gyani soul, I start to think, what's going on? I'm going backwards. This isn't working. Because things are coming up that I thought I'd left a long time ago. But when we go deep into the knowledge, we start to see that this is a part of the process of change. Situations emerge, different sets of my sanskaras that come up to meet me, and I start to have to deal with them. But sometimes it's a shock after a period of time, and it can dent my confidence as a BK. I start to think, can I do it? can I really be a pure soul? And even it can come to a point that I doubt whether I can really go forward, because sometimes the sanskara comes with such great force. And what I've observed is that we react in different ways to deep sanskaras because they've emerged many times before. Sometimes, as I said, we try to suppress it once again. Other times, I think we deny it to myself. And you know, one of the Daddy Jenki's favorite themes is honesty, because I found really that there's so many inbuilt aspects of self-deception, that not liking to face the reality sometimes of a negative sanskara or something impure, I've learned how to delude or deceive myself in some way. And so, once again, I start to put it on, you know, I start to deny it to myself. One of the sisters in Australia, she used to run a program in one of our centers for people with alcohol and drug addiction. And you know, there's a very famous program worldwide called the 12-step program. And you know, the first step of that program is to admit I have a problem. And you know, she said sometimes that's the hardest step. People can be drinking for 20 years and yet they will still say, I don't have a problem. And sometimes it's like that sanskara to deny to myself can be quite strong. Because sometimes we go the other way, and when we realize that, we start to punish myself. But Baba's way is no, to apply a method. A knowledgeful soul will not use it to go, you know, decrease my self-respect once again, but to be honest. And I think that, you know, sometimes we suppress, sometimes we deny, sometimes we avoid. And I really believe it's possible to create a life where I avoid being challenged by sanskaras that are uncomfortable. So I become very comfortable. I feel I'm going along okay, but actually I've designed my life not to come in touch, in face, you know, with some of these sanskaras that are emerged by situations or personalities. This is why I feel to be in the heart of service is the healthiest thing, because if you really put yourself in the heart of service, constantly I will be challenged and I will see, you know, what is emerging. The thing I think about relationships these days, over the last year or two, is that relationships are our huge field of learning. The Brahman family is the best teacher that we can have. Why? Because sometimes, you know, we say, oh, this one's like this and this one like that. Because in a relationship, that it touches things which are already in me. In other words, other personalities reveal to me who I am. That's how I see them now. It's not them. And if I point the finger at them, I've missed the opportunity to learn about myself. Because all another person does is trigger what is already in me. They touch the sanskaras that are existing in me, and I start to learn more about myself. Sometimes even, if we don't suppress things or deny things, sometimes we resort to another great weapon of avoiding, you know, when my sanskaras do emerge, which is blame. And blame is a really wonderful way of getting out of situations, you know. It's the center, you know. It's the instrument, you know. It's this person, it's that person, it's, you know, there's always a reason. And that can be a very powerful thing once more. There's many, many sort of ways that we do. But I think the maturity of a Brahman is at some point in my Brahman life, is that this is the signal, the time to really use the power to face. And that I really have to look at myself deeply and realize that, you know, this life is about change. And I really believe that it's at this point that we really begin to change these deep sanskaras within myself. Because I think that if we look at those deep sanskaras and we start to make inroads in them, nothing gives us more confidence to continue on this path. But even if I've changed a bit of my nature, I've changed a few soft sanskaras, but a few of the deep-rooted ones remain, it's sometimes hard to have that real joy, you know, about, you know, where I'm going and what I'm doing. And the reality is that some of these sanskaras are incredibly powerful. They are very powerful. And even Baba was saying in one of the mulis that they are powerful. The sanskaras, you know, are strong. But Baba gives the guarantee if we have the courage, he will give us those 1,000 steps of support. And an image which I have sometimes about them is that imagine that, you know, you were to chop down a very, very, very old tree. Some trees live to hundreds and hundreds of years. And I don't know exactly, but I've heard some say that almost every year or two, as the tree grows, it has a ring. You know, when you chop down a tree and there's hundreds of little rings in the tree. Sometimes I think it's almost like the soul in its sanskaras. The outer wood is a bit soft. They're my habits. The next wood's, you know, it is softer. They're the soft sanskaras. But when you get to the center of the tree, they're these hard sanskaras that have been etched in the soul for 2,500 years. And yet, it's those ones which I think are the ones that we really have to look at to, with determination. This is what Baba's saying, to really develop some sort of approach to deal with them. And sometimes I think that in Brahman life, we approach these sanskaras, and each year Baba talks about, you know, to bring change in our sanskaras. It's a bit like time management. You know, when they teach the principles of time management, in the most simplistic way, they say that there's three, you know, stages or three sort of approaches to time management. The first one, you know, there's three tasks, I should say. The biggest task, there's big tasks, major tasks, there's middling tasks, and there's unimportant tasks. What is human nature? Human nature says, well, I'll get those little things done, you know, I'll ring so-and-so, I'll do the shopping, I'll clean out the fridge, you know, do those sort of things. And then, you know, I'll do maybe a little bit more on one of the middling tasks. And when I've cleared all that, I'll have time to really look at the important task in my life. And so what happens? You never do the important task. And I've personally observed this in myself. There's no doubt I've changed. Habits have changed. Soft sanskaras have changed. But often we avoid really going to that one deep-rooted sanskara at the core of the tree, or two or three. To me, they're just a few. This chronic thing of lack of self-value. The sense of insecurity is another one. Fear is another one. And it's almost like, unless I set in pattern, in motion, something to deal with those things, I'm moving along in Brahman life, but still I'm still carrying these major things with me. And that's where, you know, I can remember at one time observing the way I made effort, especially in the beginning days. I used to feel, you know, each morning you listen to Baba and Baba would say, okay, children, you know, you must be very sweet, you must become very tolerant, you must give regard, you must have good drishti, you must do this, you must do that. And so it's almost like you splatter your efforts in many directions, you know, trying to do many things. I'm a believer now to take one thing and have full, unadulterated focus on one thing. And if I decide that in this period of time, I'm going to apply my determination to change in one area, I'm going to really begin to heal my self-respect. I'm really going to do it finally, once and for all, rather than feeling, because it affects everything. My experience often, self-respect is my relationship with me. I often feel it's the first relationship in life. If it's dysfunctional, it influences all my relationships, my work, almost everything I do. It's integral. Recently, Bubba described that soul consciousness was really regaining my self-respect. It's such a crucial thing. It's almost like I have to create a plan for self-transformation. Because many times, you know, I have a feeling that many of us in this room, all of us have been to school, many of us have even been to university, to actually, and even in our workplace, to be successful, we make a plan of study or a plan of how I do my job. But often in Brahman life, we just hope I will change, you know? We just go along and hope one day I'll wake up and all my old sanskaras have just disappeared, you know? You know that sort of feeling? I think that's a little bit of blind faith, really. And I remember years ago, I came back from Madhuban and I began to realize the depth of the lack of self-respect sanskara and its subtlety. And I began to think, I need to make a plan for it. And what I did was just observed situations that seemed to press the button. And what you find in life is that there are personalities or situations that make you feel nervous, make you lose your confidence, make you feel a bit weak, make you feel a bit inferior, something. Because they're all children of lack of self-respect. Observe the situations. And when you enter that situation again, apply a new response. Rather than my old response of my thoughts starting to feel a bit nervous, my emotions sort of feeling a bit uncomfortable, and all the old feelings where I'm just the victim constantly of my old reactions, apply a new response. Now, first time we do it, we may be 1% successful. But if we do it a second time, there's 2 or 3%. If we keep applying it, what happens is I chip away at the sanskaras. The deep-rooted ones are fairly deeply etched in the soul. They don't change overnight. That's why a long-term plan. I remember even the brothers here some years ago in Madhuban used to say that if you want to change a sanskara, and I remember in psychology they say that when you do an action 20 times, that it becomes a habit, it becomes a sanskara. But when you do a good action or a good thought 20 times, that creates a new sanskara. So it's almost like they were saying, if I sit in yoga for half an hour each day with the special thought to bring a shift in this sanskara, and then I apply it in action. Let's say there's a personality that usually upsets me and I walk away from that situation with waste thoughts about them and the way they behave, and so I'm just a victim of my own response each time. I apply a new response. The more I do it, I see some success and I begin to see that actually I can bring change. And I feel it brings confidence and it gives me more determination that if I stick with it, I can do it. There's a brother here from Australia. I don't know whether you've met him. His name's Steve and he came here, and I don't think you'll mind me talking about this. But he came here at the beginning of this year. He'd been doing a job for 25 years, a very big job, a very busy job. And in that time, he hadn't properly looked after himself, he'll be the first to tell you. And his weight went up to 170 kilos. And when he met Daddy Janki, Daddy said to him, you've got to lose weight. And he actually is in his 25th year, so he had a year off. It was like long service leave. So he decided, I'm going to devote my time. And he has lost 62 kilos this year. And it's almost like, I think in a way, it's almost like the sanskaras. He had the determined thought. The hardest part was starting. But once the weight came down, he got more determination and more determination. I think it's a little bit like the sanskaras. Once you see that I'm not just a victim of my old sanskaras, a new response, a new reaction, a new feeling can be there, it actually gives us more courage and more determination to see it through. Because I do think we need to make a plan. And I feel this is what Baba's saying. In the last year, he said on quite a few occasions, he's been saying, children, just have determination. And what is his words? It's not even just do it. He says time and time again, you have to do it. You have to do it. You know, his language is incredibly strong. And I think, you know, one of the things which determination I've had since last year, and maybe a little bit, two things maybe. One was, you know, when Baba gave us those five, what were they? The five, yeah, the drill, thank you. The word just escaped me somewhere. I found that really interesting in just what we're talking about. Because you know what I found personally, the main thing was that I think Baba was telling us that sometimes we are so locked in our present set of sanskaras, that's our only reality. But Baba was almost saying, children, in your soul, you have many sets of sanskaras. You have the eternal set of purity. You know, the eternal sanskaras. You have the original set of the golden age of love and happiness and joy. You have your Brahman set of sanskaras, of courage, etc. You have your angelic set of sanskaras, benevolence and giving. There's actually many sets in the soul. But we are just dipping into our present set of sanskaras and then we fight them. I think what Baba was saying is as you go around, you visit the different sets and actually the present set doesn't seem so powerful. There's only one set. And because time is such, time brings up this present set of sanskaras, we believe they're all powerful. As we go around the cycle, we start to not only believe, but emerge and taste. In a sense, I feel the approach is easier to emerge other sets of sanskaras rather than fight the present set. Fighting is difficult, you know? Battling my sanskaras head on. But in a sense, I think wisdom in yoga is to emerge those original sanskaras. And sometimes even to ask myself the question when I'm sitting in yoga, I love to ask the question about feelings. I'm fascinated by feelings. So when I'm in yoga, you know, sometimes Baba says, be pure, be pure, be pure. And we say, yes, Baba, I wonder. But what is the feeling of purity? How do I actually feel when there's purity?